Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Talking all things specifically spring football in Oxford as the 2024 season quickly approaches. Zach, what's going on, my friend? Appreciate you taking the time.
Chris, good morning, man. Appreciate you having me back.
Yeah, man, it's been a while. It's been a while. I know things in Oxford. It's very exciting times to be a fan of the Ole Miss Rebels. That being said, Zach, we'll go ahead and dive right into it. What's this spring been like for Ole Miss? You know, obviously it's always exciting when you see the boys get back on the field and get back after it. But when you have a season like Ole Miss had, winning 11 games first time in school history, right, winning that Peach Bowl over Penn State, and then, of course, you talk about recruiting and specifically transfer portal successes, there's a lot of excitement around the Ole Miss football program right now, and with that brings high expectations. What's been that level of excitement, if you will, during spring practice?
Yeah, the bridge from the Peach Bowl to now, it's kind of a whole different vibe and mindset for Ole Miss fans. The expectations are pretty high, and I don't think it's there. There's a certain segment of every fan base that, 10 wins, 11 wins, everybody's, you know, fanatical. That's where the term fan comes from. But I think it's valid this year. It was a weird, in a good way, a weird vibe at the Peach Bowl where most Ole Miss fans, you know, were pretty quietly confident in that game. I was there. I saw it with my own two eyes, Chris. They dominated Penn State. It was a pretty emphatic beatdown. Lane Kiffin and that offense kind of had their way with Penn State. And now they were down some guys that sat out, you know, looking ahead to the NFL draft. And then, you know, after that first, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 minutes of the game, Pete Golding and the defense settled in. And I think that has carried over into this offseason where it's just a very confident and motivated football team and program that is expecting to do big things. The hype is very real. We did a show earlier this week on our podcast, Talk of Champions. Check it out. We talked about, like, hey, the expectations, I wouldn't say college football playoff or bust, but, I mean, it's – I feel like the floor is 9-3, 10-2 at the very least. Kiffin is very, very focused, but I think there's a very calculated and – intentional way that he is talking about this team. He makes sure to remind everyone, you know, the rat poison, you know, hey, this is a good roster, but we're not sure if it's a good team yet. I think a lot of that is coach speak. I think he knows this is a team that could potentially be the real deal.
And Zach, a lot of reason for that hype that you mentioned is the successes in the transfer portal, adding the slew of fantastic talent on the defensive side specifically. But as Lane Kiffin mentioned, and to your point, great roster. We don't know if it's a great team yet. How do you feel like those transfer portal pieces have meshed? Because I think that obviously is the big question for Ole Miss. As you bring in a bunch of new guys, how are they going to fit into the culture? How are they going to acclimate? From what you've heard, what you've seen, how do you feel that process is going? Because, again, that is a very, very real thing, getting guys adjusted and acclimated to the culture of the program.
Yeah, that's a big word. Pro mindset is kind of the mantra. We have a show with Jared Ivey, the defensive end. He does a show once a week. He'll have players. They've had Walker Jones, who runs the collective. This week they're going to have the AD, Keith Carter, on as well. He talks about it a lot where once Jackson Dart kind of got the ball rolling with, hey, I'm back. A lot of them were like, you know, they coined it, you know, the last dance, you know, a la the, you know, Netflix documentary with Michael Jordan and the Bulls. But yeah, it's just like, hey, if Dart's back, then, you know, why should I leave? Let's all come back. Let's all try to, you know, run it back one more time and get to the playoff and try to win the SEC and try to win a national championship. So the pro mindset portion of the message that Kiffin has and the staff is really delivered. And you know, the experienced guys, 3-year, 4-year guys coming back, that's the catalyst for it, where you're bringing in these new faces and making sure everybody's on the same page, everybody's buying in. You know, whether you're Walter Nolan, you know, the former number one overall prospect, or, you know, you're a guy like Brandon Turnage, who's been around the block and knows his way around the SEC, you know, a Princely Umah Mielen, you're expected to come in and we, you know, as a staff, you know, if I'm talking like I'm Lane Kiffin, hey, we expect you to be a dude day one. You know, they go and get two offensive linemen, two starters from the Washington offensive line, won the Joe Moore Award, you know, had a fantastic year, runner-up finish. You know, those are the kinds of players that the echelon is now higher, where it's not just, hey, we're going to get a couple guys and then we're going to piecemeal it with some, you know, experienced dudes here and there. They're still doing that, but they're getting big time name cachet and you know, the Walter Nolans, the Umami Ellens, you know, Diego Pounds, number one left tackle in the portal. You swipe a guy like Amorian Walker, who before the injury, before he left Michigan, Harbaugh was telling people like, hey, this guy's going to challenge for, you know, cornerback one spot. So you've got a good mix of really, really good talent. And then you've got the experienced, been around the block type guys like Chris Paul Jr., Pooh Paul from Arkansas, just a plug and play guy. Trey Amos is one that I don't think he gets talked about enough. I mean, that's a rubber stamp Nick Saban corner. What more do you need? If Nick Saban thinks you can play cornerback on an island, press man, mano y mano, like that's what you want. And then, you know, Yam Banks from South Alabama came back to Mississippi, you know, thought about the NFL draft, thinks he needs to do, you know, hey, I need to up my stock a little bit. And then, yeah, Juice Wells, South Carolina, still rehabbing, coming back from the injury, trying to make sure that, hey, we're not going to rush him back. We're going to make sure he's 100%. Because, oh, by the way, Trey Harris is back as well. And, you know, he might be one of the best to do it at the wide receiver position this season.
Let's stick, Zach, with the defensive side of the football, because you mentioned all those talented pieces that Ole Miss has added. Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, Pooh Paul Jr., Princely Umanmielen sort of headlining that group. You know, who do you feel like has emerged as the leader of the defense during spring? Has that guy emerged? Do you see it being more of a leading by committee? Or, you know, I know that's one of the key things, right? Pete Golding's defense, you're looking for that guy who, when the tough, you know, things get going tough, because in the SEC they inevitably do, who's going to be that leader, whether it's vocal, lead by example? How do you feel like those pieces have come together defensively? Because, I mean, Zach, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say this most talented defense in Ole Miss history, but the pieces still have to come together by the time this thing kicks off this fall.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is the best roster that an Ole Miss team has ever had. Probably next to that 2014 team that had a top five defense. So we still need to see what it's going to look like when things kick off in September. But it's a good problem to have, Chris, where you've got dudes fighting over who's going to be the bell cow, who's going to be the leader. I think the obvious answer since committing, you know, leaving Arkansas, committing to Ole Miss damn near immediately on his visit, it's Pooh Paul. He's been vocal on Twitter. He's been vocal in practice. And then Walter Nolan, Princely Umanmielen, Trey Amos, those guys are really sticking out in practice. I was talking to a guy that was at practice this week, and he was talking about the offensive line. And he said, this is the biggest offensive line I've ever seen at Ole Miss. Everybody looks like Laramie Tunsil. Everybody's huge. And Walter Nolan is still blowing stuff up in practice. So that's going to be, you know, that good on good that you love to see. That was why I thought Alabama for so long recruited so well. Yeah, you had Nick Saban, you won trophies, you won, you know, all that. Players want to go and compete against other elite players. You know, elite guys want that. At least the ones you want to have on your team, right? You don't want to shy away from competition. You don't want to be scared of, hey, I think I'm a five-star, I should start, but, oh, they got another five-star, I don't know if I want to go there. No, you don't want that. Like, and I think that's really been harnessed in practice. I know Ole Miss has done a bunch of promo videos of Trey Harris versus Trey Amos in practice. You know, the iron sharpens iron, all the cliches. I mean, that's gonna pay dividends down the stretch, where you've got one of the best receivers in the country going up against one of the best corners in the country. You got Walter Nolan and Princely Umanmielen. they're going to get those new faces on the offensive line ready. They're going to get those returning starters on the offensive line ready for SEC play. You know, Kiffin said that after the Georgia game when Ole Miss was just embarrassed on national TV. Point blank said it in the press conference, Chris. He was like, we don't look like a team that can contend right now. We got to get bigger. And they certainly did that in the offseason via the portal.
Zach, let's move to the offensive side of the football. And one thing that's not a mystery is Jackson Dart is the leader of this football team and certainly this offense. I know he's not really an area of concern for Ole Miss fans, but how would you feel his spring has gone? I mean, obviously, you go in a lot of instances as far as your quarterback can take you. And as good as he was last year, I still think there's obviously room for growth and improvement. How do you feel like the spring has gone thus far for Jackson Dart, and what are the overall reports of his progression?
A lot of people said that his body looks better. Probably trimmed. I don't want to say fat. I mean, he's not fat, but you know, toned up a little bit. Kiffin joked that he's gotten taller. but yeah, I mean, I think there's a mental side of it where he's comfortable. He's not looking over his shoulder. I don't think he ever was. I mean, the quarterback competition, you know, that's a storyline that's just easy, you know, fodder for the offseason and spring ball is, you know, ooh, you know, who's battling at quarterback? No, there's no battle. Like everybody knows this is Jackson Dart's team. But I mean, everybody says that he looks as decisive and comfortable and as good as he's been since arriving at Ole Miss. I think the emergence of Caden Priestcorn in that Peach Bowl, where he just carved up Penn State, I think he's finally healthy. He had that nagging foot injury all year. You know, he had some off-season stuff. You know, he lost his dad. I can't imagine doing that and playing high-level college football. I mean, the amount of stress and emotions with that and the injury and a new place and it, like, you know, he is going to be, I think, at a different level this year where it's, hey, this is a bag year for him. Like this is a draft year. You got to go out and ball and try to improve that draft stock. And then I think Ole Miss did him a service by snagging Daquan Wright from Virginia Tech, a different style of tight end, but somebody that will complement him well and allow him to, you know, we're probably going to see them on the field at the same time, try to expose those mismatches, but yeah, I mean, the offense is going to be electric. We talked about Trey Harris already. Jordan Watkins is back for a third year. He had the hand injury last year and was still tremendous. A very reliable possession guy. And then, yeah, we talked about Juice Wells. Once he gets back and is 100%, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for this offense. I think they could very easily be top 10, top 5 in terms of balance and explosive plays. You know, Kiffin likes to run the football. He likes to establish the run and be physical, but you know he's going to take his shots and try to get after people and stretch the field. So, yeah, Dart being so much more comfortable and he knows the offense up, down, left, right, backwards, forwards. It truly is a best case scenario for Ole Miss when you look at the schedule and with the playoff field being expanded.
Zach, this is somewhat of a side note, more so on the note of the 2024 season than spring ball, but Lane Kiffin a couple of weeks ago talking about the new helmet communication for the first 25 seconds of the play clock, calling it a cheat code. And we actually did a segment on that. Your thoughts on his comments via that? How has that gone in spring practice, and how much do you think that helps what Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels are trying to do offensively?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because when that was first proposed, Kiffin kind of pushed back a little. And, you know, I was talking to people about it, and I was like, why is he pushing back? Like, I feel like he would love that. Maybe Kiffin just likes the whole, you know, part of, because if you're at a game, if you're on the sidelines or you're close to the field, you can hear Kiffin whistle. You know, I don't know if he does it one or two. He whistles and he'll audible. Like he does a lot of that. You know, maybe he just likes, you know, flexing that whistle muscle a little bit, but now he doesn't have to. I mean, I think it's going to be a game changer. I mean, just being able to audible on the fly, especially on the road, right? I mean, at home, sure. I mean, Ole Miss, it can get loud, but it's not the loudest place. It's not the biggest stadium. And still, it's 2024. Some people don't realize, like, hey, if our team is on offense, we should be quiet. But, yeah, I mean, when they go on the road, I think it's going to be crucial. Third downs, fourth downs, in the red zone, you know, when you're – you know, you got to stay in your, in that coach's box. You can't get all the way down there. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Kiffin can stay back. He can see the whole field and he can just get on the radio and do it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that especially for him, someone that, you know, is a lot of chess, not checkers, and three or four plays ahead, setting things up. We've seen that throughout his tenure, throughout his coaching tenure, not just at Ole Miss. He will run things in the first half to set things up for the second half. He will put stuff on film for 2 weeks down the road when he's, you know, going to play Kirby Smart in Georgia. He's doing that intentionally to put stuff on tape so people have to defend it. Now with the in-helmet communication, I don't think there's any negative to it, especially with a mind like Lane Kiffin.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Now, Zach, one of the few questions I feel like, because it feels like Ole Miss is so established across the board with, like you mentioned, one of the most talented rosters in the SEC. The running back position, life after Quinshon Judkins has begun this spring. Ulysses Bentley is back. He was fantastic. You pick up Logan Diggs from the transfer portal coming over from LSU, and Kedrick Riscano, a talented youngster, returns as well, amongst a group of others. What has life been like after Quinshon Judkins? I'm sure there's multiple layers to this, because I think a lot of Ole Miss folks, at least I see, would argue that the locker room is better off without him. But either way, from what you've seen in spring ball at that position, you did mention Lane Kiffin. He loves to run the football. That's somewhat of a misconception. They think about his offense, high-flying, throwing it down the field. But it starts with the running game for Ole Miss. Do you feel like – are you concerned at all that there may be a drop-off in production? Has Ulysses Bentley and the rest of that group eased some of those concerns? Overall thoughts on how the running back room has looked this spring?
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying Ole Miss will miss Quinshon Judkins. He was one of the better running backs in the country. I mean, I would probably argue him and Ollie Gordon were two of the best last season. But yeah, I mean, there was some locker room stuff. If you put that aside, there's no denying the talent. I mean, if he had stayed, he would have broken every running back record at Ole Miss. There's no arguing that. But Ulysses Bentley, man, he doesn't get his flowers enough. He was electric last year. I mean, he had the big run against LSU. He's really good out of the backfield. He's really worked on his pass pro. That's a big thing with Kiffin and running backs coach Kevin Smith. If you can't protect the quarterback, you're not playing. But they do like, speaking of Kevin Smith, he loves the by committee style. He loves to keep the tread on the tires. They ran Judkins a lot. He was a bell cow, you know, RB1 type, but they still like to keep people fresh and to rotate. I still expect Henry Parrish to end up at Ole Miss. He entered the portal a couple weeks ago. He's tight with Kevin Smith. I mean, literally and figuratively, when he was coming out of high school. He signed with Ole Miss because of his relationship with Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith goes to Miami. Henry Parrish goes to Miami. Kevin Smith goes back to Ole Miss. Henry Parrish finishes out his 23 season. He gets in the portal. It's expected that he will return to Ole Miss for his final year. And he's a good, balanced guy. I mean, he ran the ball a lot for Miami. He's good out of the backfield. He's pretty good in pass pro. That's just another weapon. And I think that would be big for Logan Diggs to where they're not rushing him back. The expectation is for Diggs to be ready by SEC play coming off the ACL injury. But it would be nice for Ole Miss to add at least one or two more backs in the spring portal window to where, hey, like you can tell Diggs, like, hey, you don't have to rush. We're good. Because I think in a perfect world, Chris, they would add two running backs in the portal, and then Diggs can just take it easy and be ready for 2025. But yeah, I mean, I think that Judkins will be missed. There's no denying that, but they have talent in that room. You mentioned Roscano. I'm interested to see how many carries he gets early in the year in those non-conference games. I want to see him in the spring game. I want to see what he looks like with this newly revamped and reloaded offensive line with some big dudes. Cause he's the kind of running back that Kiffin likes, where he's a little bit of both. He can get outside. He can stretch the field. He can outrun those linebackers, but he's not shy to run between the tackles. So yeah, I would keep, if you're an Ole Miss fan, keep an eye out on the portal. I think Parrish will end up at Ole Miss, but there's probably one more out there that Ole Miss is going to try to land.
So, Zach, we know about the household names, whether it be via the transfer portal or the returners. Has there been a guy or a couple guys that have turned heads that you think are making headway this spring that fans may be unfamiliar with at this point?
If you're, a casual or maybe not a hardcore dive into the depth chart fan, you got a glimpse of him in the Peach Bowl. I think Caden Lee is going to be a guy to know this year. True freshman last year, he played a little bit non-conference, had a big touchdown catch late in the year against a non-conference opponent, but he played a lot in the Peach Bowl with Watkins with the hand injury. And I guess at that point, they kind of knew he was going to come back, so they didn't want to try to, you know, push him in that bowl game to injure it further. But he's a possession guy. Not as explosive or have, you know, that elite wiggle that Elijah Moore had in the slot, but he's a crafty route runner for his age. I think that young, he's really worked on honing that part of his craft, and he runs good routes. And I think new wide receivers coach George McDonald is a big fan to where, like, hey, you know the route tree. You know, I don't have to hold your hand and tell you how to run routes. I mean, that's the biggest part of being a receiver, in my opinion, from an amateur scout perspective. Like, if you know how to run routes, like, we can work with that. If you've got everything else, but you can't run routes, that's an issue. Because you got to be able to, you know, the advantage is always on the offense, in my opinion, when especially one-on-one coverage. I mean, the corner, it's all reactionary. Like, you're trying to read hips, you know, read body language, eyes. I mean, receivers that run good routes can really run themselves open. Whereas, like, a good press man corner can really be in that back pocket. If you can run good routes, you can get open a lot easier. And I think Caden Lee, you know, they've kind of been, they haven't been too coy with it with social media and the media department. They've been pushing a lot of Caden Lee content out there. I expect him to be a big part of the offense. He was an underrated three-star coming out of high school, but was really productive at a good high school program in Georgia. I think he's going to be a guy to know for sure this season.
Zach, we sit just over a week away from the Grove Bowl, a.k.a. Ole Miss's spring game, Saturday, April the 13th at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. What are you most excited to see, and what do you most want to see from this Ole Miss football team? I'm sure a lot of these guys will be playing very limited action or may not be playing at all, but you know, certainly we can learn a lot. It's a first glimpse at a lot of new pieces, and it's going to be a first glimpse at this 2024 Ole Miss football team. So what is the thing or things you most want to see from Ole Miss in the Grove Bowl?
Probably going to keep a close eye on the linebacker position. We talked about Poo Paul and the experience and and just the cerebral style of play he has. He's played a lot of SEC ball. I want to see how him being featured on the defense will impact Suntering Perkins and how he looks in the defense. I think that's the big thing, is how will that impact him playing, you know, and where he will play. He played a lot inside. He got lost in the wash a little bit because he was a true freshman. He was probably playing around 205, 210. You know, he's been in the weight room. He's gotten bigger. I want to see, you know, coming more off the edge, you know, kind of like the Harold Perkins, you know, the curious case of Harold Perkins, where he was phenomenal off the edge as a freshman. LSU moves him to the inside. I thought that was a disservice. I think same thing with Perkins. You got to keep him on the edge. You got to let him utilize that speed and quickness. He was an outstanding running back in high school. I think that coming off the edge is going to better suit him. So Pooh Paul's presence. And then TJ Dudley played in the Peach Bowl. He wasn't eligible during the regular season after, you know, transferring from Clemson after the deadline. Those two guys in the middle, plus all of the girth they've got up front now with Walter Nolan and JJ Pegues is back, Jared Ivey, Xavier Harris, Princely Umami Ellen. I mean, that front is going to be nasty. So how does everybody, how does that complement everyone else is kind of what I'm looking at on the defensive side. Cause I think the offense outside of the offensive line, you know what you got. It's a known commodity. So linebacker first and foremost, and then I want to see that offensive line. How do the Washington guys mesh? How does Jerquan Scott from Southern Miss, another experienced guy that's played a lot of ball, how is he going to fit in the shuffle there? And then, if you want to get some, you know, some headline stuff here, what's the situation behind Dart? Walker Howard, he's the number two guy. He's kind of the heir apparent to Jackson Dart. But Austin Simmons is coming on strong. He's playing some baseball right now. He's carving people up. He's getting swords left and right on the mound. But I mean, the staff is so high on him. And in talking with him, Chris, I think he's 18. I don't know his birthday. I mean, you know, he reclassified up, but dude is, you know, if he's 18, he's going on 28. I mean, a very mature kid. I think that's important for his role, right? Like, he knows I'm down the road. I'm a year or two down the road. He gets that. He knows his role. He understands that he's there to learn and to get better behind Jackson Dart and Walker Howard. So, yeah, you want to see the quarterbacks because you know what Dart's going to give you. I imagine he'll probably do two, maybe three series in the Grove Bowl, and then they'll throw it to the backups. Yeah, you want to see Austin Simmons get out there and spin it a little bit.
Zach Berry of Ole Miss Spirit, the On3 affiliate for the Ole Miss Rebels, talking all things recruiting, Ole Miss football, everything in between. Zach, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Looking forward to the Grove Bowl and looking forward to having you back on again soon.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.